8/23.
Accept the Old Town Chinatown five-year action plan and authorize modifications to the system development charge exemption program.
Second reading, roll call.
Mayor, the Parks Board met this morning and asked if they could make a statement.
Okay, you have it? Good. Thank you.
Not sure that, because things are being taken out of order, I'm not sure that anybody is here to present it. But essentially, their memo to us raises a number of policy issues, in particular that there wasn't the community involvement with the Parks Board or the Parks System Development Charge Advisory Committee or wider committees. So their concern was, they feel it would be inappropriate to weigh in on the proposal even, and that they're requesting a delay until the City Council can provide the briefings and the involvement of their board.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, then roll call, please.
Councilman?
Well, I want to thank Mayor Hales for bringing this bold vision forward. I do think it's quite exciting that the prospect of 500 additional units of workforce housing in Old Town Chinatown through the waiver of SDCs can succeed. It's a big question mark. We don't know if it will succeed, but this is a significant inducement for a part of our city that is in dire need of changing the status quo. And if we can bring people into Old Town Chinatown through this ambitious pilot program, we are going to more than make up the revenue loss through the SDCs through increased consumption, increased taxpaying of property taxes. And I am optimistic that this will succeed, although it is a gamble, but gambles are well worth taking. Aye.
Novick?
I want to also express my appreciation for the mayor's effort here to revitalize this area of the city and to acknowledge some of the concerns that have been raised about this mechanism. What we're hoping is that through a combination of financing mechanisms, including a limited waiver of SDCs, we can bring development to this neighborhood, and we can have a mix of incomes in this neighborhood, and hopefully we can jumpstart something which some years down the road will result in development which does generate SDC funds. I know that some people have expressed concern about the idea of waiving SDCs for housing, which is above the 60% of median family income level of affordability. And I suppose we could adopt a policy in the city that until we have housing for everybody below 60% MFI, we're not going to do anything that benefits people above 60% MFI. But we don't have such a policy. I mean, for example, early this year, perhaps it was last year, we approved an increase in the amount of owner compensation that's exempt from the business income tax from $90,500 to $100,000, which by definition benefits only owners of businesses that are paying themselves more than $90,500. So we have not adopted a policy as a city that we will not do anything for people on higher income levels until we have housed everybody below 60% MFI. We could adopt a policy that there are no such things as special waivers or exemptions of taxes and fees throughout the city. All taxes and fees apply equally to everybody. But we don't have such a policy. For example, we recently decided to essentially waive taxes for the Convention Center Hotel. I was the one no vote on that. We could decide that although we will waive taxes for some people, we'll never waive SDCs. We don't have that policy either. We waive SDCs for investment in affordable housing for people below 60% MFI. So I think that some of the principled objections that have been raised to this proposal reflect policies that we do not actually adopt across the board. So since we don't have these across-the-board policies, I think we take each such proposal as a standalone discussion. And I think that given that we are talking about a neighborhood with highly concentrated poverty, which city policies have encouraged, I think that making an effort to have a wider range of incomes in this neighborhood is a reasonable thing to try to do. The Oregonian had an article a couple of weeks ago about the increase of areas of concentrated poverty in the country and in Oregon as a whole, in particular, and talked about a study that showed that living in a community with a concentration of people in poverty adds burdens, particularly to low-income families. People who live in such areas face higher crime rates, poor housing conditions, and fewer job opportunities. These effects are exacerbated when poor people are clustered in the same neighborhood. And I think that it is a worthwhile goal to try to have a wider range of incomes in this neighborhood, that having a wider range of incomes is, in and of itself, an important neighborhood amenity. So, again, I respect the arguments of those who are opposed to this, but on balance, I think that the mayor is engaged in a worthy gamble. Aye.
Fritz.
I was on a long-scheduled vacation in England to visit my mother when this when the public hearing was held. I watched the public hearing live in Yorkshire, England, thanks to the Portland Community Media and Portland Online. I did appreciate the public testimony and the council discussion. Since I wasn't able to participate in the hearing, I have many comments to make as we are voting. And since the mayor has an appointment with his wife at 12:30, I'm going to read them rather than ad-lib because I could go on and on about this. But still, I have quite a bit to say, so settle in. I do support many elements of the action plan. Old Town, Chinatown, Japantown is an important neighborhood which deserves our best efforts to make it vibrant and a special place, as do our other 95 neighborhoods. The other 94 neighborhoods. Each neighborhood has unique qualities and challenges. Every neighborhood could use additional support and taxpayer-funded investment, even affluent ones that lack basic services like sidewalks and playgrounds. Community members have worked hard with the Portland Development Commission and city bureaus to identify improvements and strategies that are likely to conserve and improve the special characteristics of this historic neighborhood. I commend you all for your diligence and vision. The primary question is how to pay for the plan. The mayor, PDC, and the plan propose to stimulate development by excusing developers from paying their fair share for improvements and maintenance in parks and utilities, improvements that will be needed by the new residents. System development charges are the way almost all new development pays its fair share as compensation for the impacts that of development and its users have on the city's services and infrastructure. The exception up till now has been system development charge SDC waivers for affordable housing either at or below 60% of median family income or for small accessory dwelling units, which also tend to be affordable. Now this plan proposes to change city policy and possibly give millions of dollars in subsidies for median family, middle income housing. Instead of debating this overall policy, the proposal is to apply the subsidy in just one of the 95 neighborhoods. Commissioner Fish explained at the hearing that the Water and Environmental Services SDCs pay to maintain and replace the existing system. I agree with Commissioner Fish that requiring ratepayers to subsidize median income housing is a policy that raises significant concerns. And Commissioner Fish made excellent points about the impacts on ratepayers citywide. If I had been present, I would have illuminated the planned impacts on the Parks Bureau. So now I'll do that now. A couple of weeks ago, the council approved the referral of a parks bond measure, asking voters in November to replace the expiring bond measure authorized in 1994 without raising taxes to provide money for parks maintenance. In order to not raise taxes, we're asking for much less than is needed to avoid closures, let alone provide all of the improvements needed to provide park services to every neighborhood. Portland Parks and Recreation faces a gap of about $360 million in needed capital improvement projects and major maintenance over the next 10 years. The bond measure, if passed, will raise at most about a fifth of that amount, or up to $68 million. Now, that's for maintenance. This gap of nearly $300 million doesn't even count the additional $400 million worth of stuff, that parks improvements, that is needed to provide adequate level of new parks facilities for all neighborhoods, including Old Town Chinatown. I'm disappointed that the plan does not address parks needs in the district. Last night, I attended the movie in the Fields Park in the Pearl District. If this plan is successful in attracting median income families to Old Town Chinatown, there won't be a neighborhood park like that for them to relax in. There won't be any neighborhood park in Old Town. Expected future needs in the central city area in or near the district that would be which we could use system development charges for to expand capacity include improvements in the Greenway, a park opposite the post office, and one in the Conway development, as well as other potential major projects. Tax increment financing funds will not cover the full cost of these improvements. SDCs pay for new facilities needed to accommodate new growth, not for maintenance and repairs like the bond measure fund, or the utility fees. Cutting the system development charge funds further reduces parks' ability to provide adequate levels of service. We don't even charge the full amount. We're only at 75% of the expected need, and that's something that our SDC committee is currently looking at as to whether we can ask for more from most new development. Based on my 14 months of experience being the Parks Commissioner, I can assure you that the new median income residents will be as demanding as the residents of other neighborhoods in asking for their fair share of parks facilities, and so they should. Let's be clear. This proposal to forego SDCs benefits construction companies and landowners. Future residents will not benefit. They will face widening gaps between the services needed in pipes and parks and the capacity of the responsible bureaus to pay for those needed services. And the worst part of this financing plan is that there are other options. It's likely that there will be a higher than forecast ending fund balance in the general fund this year. The council could choose to allocate some of that balance to subsidize or provide incentives for development in Old Town Chinatown. Instead, the plan is to make four bureaus bear the burden of encouraging middle-income housing here. Whatever foregone revenue in parks that occurs should be reimbursed in the budget, and I will make this clear in any future budget decisions contemplated by this council. The funding mechanism violates one of my core principles. There must be a reasonable answer to the question, who pays, who benefits, and is that fair? Leaving aside who pays, the other core question in this issue is whether or not we should be subsidizing middle-income housing, and if so, whether the new policy should apply only in Old Town Chinatown. We know that the greatest need for housing subsidies is at the level of 60% of median income and less. We know that we can't afford to help everyone who needs help, even at that level, and so 2,000 people are living on our streets, as we heard under citizen communications this morning. Even though the desire for middle-income housing has validity, can we really afford to dedicate resources to something that would be nice, but that the market otherwise provides and is not as life and death as housing for people living outside, under our bridges, along our streams and rivers, and in our parks? Urban renewal areas have already received additional dedication of taxpayers' dollars intended to stimulate economic development so that more market-based development will be invested. This funding mechanism sends even more money to an urban renewal district that has already been extended and expanded. Just 3 months ago, Mayor Hales assured us there is plenty of money and capacity in this URA to cover all future and current needs, and therefore it was fine to decrease the size of the district. Now we are being told that the Old Town Chinatown plan can only be accomplished by taking SDCs from parks, transportation, and the utilities. If we are going to institute this funding mechanism, a new policy, why wouldn't we do it first in areas that have greater need for middle-income housing opportunities such as Gateway or Lentz? That indeed was the comment that I heard at the Parks Board this morning from Linda Robinson, who worked so hard to stimulate good development in East Portland. There, in Gateway and Lentz, there's an abundance of low-income housing and not enough middle-income housing. And so the local businesses cannot be supported by the neighborhood's prosperity that needs to be there. Lentz and Gateway don't have the benefit of a Pearl District nearby with its new parks and vibrant commercial and employment opportunities, so the need is even greater there. And Lentz and Gateway don't have two MAX corridors or a nearby streetcar loop. But then again, Lentz and Gateway don't have longtime developers and landowners sitting on expensive developable assets waiting for the council to provide millions of dollars of SDC subsidies along with millions of dollars in tax increment financing. Mayor Hales asked a question at the end of the hearing in July, making sure the subsidies would apply to affluent owners of Old Town parking lots. I appreciate that level of transparency, and I hope other strategies will be forwarded to Council soon to prompt development of surface parking lots. A study in Florida indicates that waiving fees does not prompt development. So I believe that this new construction will happen anyway as the Pearl is built out and developers look for new downtown sites. It's been said that Parks is not losing any money because no development is currently happening in Old Town. It's interesting to hear again the argument made by my opponent in my re-election campaign that if nothing is done, then nothing is saved and nothing is lost. That assertion didn't convince Portland voters in 2012, and I believe that Portlanders will see through it in this instance also. A hole gets deeper the more you keep on digging, and this funding mechanism will put Parks deeper in the hole in the best-case scenario that it achieves the goal of prompting more development. Without a commitment by the council to pay back the lost SDC money from the general fund or from URA funds, there is no potential scenario in which the Parks Bureau, Transportation, or the Utility Bureaus, and consequently the City of Portland, can come out ahead in this plan. The fact is, it's a shell game of what Commissioner Fish referred to as the different colors of money. We're talking about taxpayers' and ratepayers' money. The money to improve Old Town Chinatown exists in tax instrument financing, and the majority of the council is choosing to fund seismic retrofits with the TIF money instead of using it to subsidize the SDC waivers. There was no discussion of how the available TIF money could and should be spent at the hearing on this plan in July or in the budget hearings this spring. It's a shell game, and parks, transportation, and the utilities lose in the funding mechanism chosen to implement this plan. Old Town Chinatown is an important part of our downtown core, and we do need to support changes needed to make it a thriving neighborhood and business district. The action plan speaks to many of the issues that will be addressed in the coming years to make this a successful and vibrant area. Connectivity, parking, seismic upgrades, historic preservation, and enhancing neighborhood businesses and retail areas are but some of the goals this plan addresses. And the River District URA is an important part of that renewal. TIF funds are clearly intended for that economic purpose. I again commend and thank those in the community who have participated in the creation of this action plan. I know you all worked hard in achieving this endpoint. I believe there are many good things that can come out of it and that will benefit and make this an even more successful neighborhood. In England, the famous saying in the London Underground is, mind the gap. This caution seems appropriate in this decision. If a majority of the council is willing to promote middle-income housing in Old Town on the backs of parks and ratepayers. The funding mechanism shows that a majority of the council is willing to widen the gap between what we now have and what is needed for parks, facilities, and utilities. It's a good action plan, but as a member of that working group stated at the hearing, with all the intelligent people here on this council, we should have been able to figure out the right decision on how to pay for it. I don't believe this is the right decision. We are not minding the gap for our parks and infrastructure needs, and I must respectfully vote no.
Fish.
Commissioner Fritz has stated more eloquently than I could.
Please, please, sir, let the man vote.
Commissioner Fritz has stated more eloquently than I could the concerns that I have expressed with this plan, and therefore I respectfully vote no.
Hales.
Albert Einstein, of all people, said the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. This district has managed to sleep through two amazing real estate booms without basically anyone laying one brick on top of another. The neighborhood developed this plan. I didn't develop it. PDC didn't develop it. The neighborhood developed this plan and said to us, look at our district, be realistic, make something happen. I hope everyone's done what I've done, which is spent a lot of time walking around this district lately. See a lot of vacant storefronts in a city that has almost none. See a lot of plywood on the upper floors of old buildings with U's from the fire bureau, meaning unsafe for firefighters to enter, posted on the exteriors of these buildings. I'm ashamed of the condition of Old Town Chinatown, and I'm amazed that the positive approach that this neighborhood has brought to this isn't met with unanimity, because they've asked us to step up and do something, and I think this plan is an eminently reasonable step to realize their hopes and expectations. In a neighborhood where 75% of the housing, is restricted by income, and in a neighborhood, again, where there are great old historic buildings that need seismic upgrades, and believe me, the money that we have allocated to that is nowhere near enough to solve that problem, and where we need to make things happen. So I'm very confident that this is our best shot, and I'm cautiously optimistic that it might be enough to finally start making things happen in Old Town Chinatown. I don't want to walk around this district 2 years from now in the real estate boom that we're in and see the conditions that I see there now when I do walk around. I don't want Howard Miner and the other leaders of this neighborhood to come back in front of us as a city council and say, why didn't you implement our plan? Because we had a shot at finally turning this district around. So I think this is a very reasonable strategy. Hope isn't a strategy, but I think this is a good one. We will, I believe, look back on this and say, that paid off. It was an investment of money that we never would have otherwise received, and it served that neighborhood very well. Thank you. Aye. Okay.